that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
And you know it has rolled around again to Saturday morning, and it's time for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We hope you're joining us. Get your Bible out. Pour you a cup. That's how we are here. We got our Bibles. We got our coffee. Got the Wranglers. Hope you'll join us. We'll be right back after this song.
Amen.
That old wheel, is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play a call for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, that will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And of course it has rolled around again, once again, to Saturday morning. It's January 21st, 2012, and we welcome you to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And the Wranglers are here. I'm Richard. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
Kyle's sitting here in the office with me, and we've got Jason out there on the phone lines. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Richard.
And we saved the best for last. The least, or the last shall be first, the first shall be last, and then finally we say good morning, Ramrod.
Good morning. How are you doing, man?
Doing well. Doing well. Got a balmy 34 degrees this morning here in windy Wyoming. But when it's above 30 degrees, you can bet your boots that the wind is just a-blowing. And it's ripping pretty good right through there. And but we're going to start off with a word of prayer, and John, we'll sure look to you for that this morning, if that's all right.
Sure. Great. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly, Lord. Just ask for your blessings on today's lesson, Lord. Pray that you'd guide and direct us, grant us wisdom, Lord, that we'd feed your sheep what they need. Lord, we continue to pray Luke 12:2-5. The things that are done in the dark would be brought to the light. Things that were whispered in the back rooms would be shouted from the rooftops, Lord. We pray that you continue to prune the vine, Lord. Remove those that aren't ours, that aren't of you. And Lord, we pray that you would wake those up that are all across this country, Lord. Bring them to the truth that no king but King Jesus, especially as we get into this joke of a time called election time, Lord. Oh, Lord, give us men of God again. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And John, we appreciate you getting up and joining us this morning. I know you had mentioned you had a meeting you had to go to this morning. But
yeah, I can stay for a little bit.
appreciate you coming on and joining us. And, you know, if it's all right with you, let's have a word of prayer. I just to put out a little bit about that meeting, you know, John has been instrumental in a working with a actually reestablishing a Christian school down in Colorado. And they sure do their very best to educate the children about Jesus Christ. And he is present there in the classrooms. And John, have you been able to get those Ten Commandments up on the gym wall yet?
Not yet. That's my my next project. I'm right in the middle of doing the artwork and design. I think I got a concept. It's going to, you know, it's the Heritage Christian Eagles. So I think I'm going to have an eagle swooping down, holding a scroll with the Ten Commandments is what we're thinking. So.
And so you've heard us sure talk here about urging people that if your children are in public school, to pull them out and to homeschool them. Well, that's just not possible for everybody. And but there are some good Christian schools. I know of one in North Carolina that an Acres of Diamonds man is putting his children in. And this one down in Colorado is certainly a good one. And so we would, at the very least, encourage you to have a hand in your children's education out there. Don't just throw them to the wolves. Don't just throw them to the secular world and think that your one or two good apples are going to go into that barrel of rotten apples and make all the rotten ones better. The Word tells again and again how evil companions corrupt good morals.
Man,
and so just understand.
I got my hair cut. I got my hair cut, I think it was last Saturday, and the gal who was cutting my hair just moved here from California. And I asked her what brought her out here, and she says, I had to get out of that school system out there with my kids. Says they're actually forcing them to learn about homosexuality and bisexuality and transgender and all this in grade school now.
Yeah.
And he says that they're not even treating them as, they don't consider these students as male and female anymore. They rate them by their traits, or I can't remember exactly what she said, but it's just... how sick. And you know, if California's doing it, it ain't gonna be long before there'll be more that'll be doing it. So
yeah. I think God's gonna do that at one point in time too. He's gonna say, you see here what this abomination is before me, let me show you what I do to it.
Yeah, amen.
And you can, you know, it says that in the Word, and it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. It's just that's not the side of that you want to be on. So
Yeah, let's pray real quick.
Let's do that. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity that you gather us together here around the microphone. And Lord, as John goes to this meeting today, we ask for your blessings upon him. Lord, give him wisdom in dealing with these other Christians and at times Judeo-Christians, Lord. Give him wisdom in dealing with them and in leading and guiding and directing them, O Lord. Help him to be able to get the point across to them that there are only two ways, your way and everything else, and that your way is best, Lord. And just strengthen him. Be with him, Lord. We ask for your blessings on this meeting and on the endeavors that they do there in educating your people, Lord, about your ways and educating them about Jesus Christ and letting that be first and foremost in those children's lives and in the lives of these men that John meets with. As they make the decisions and they go forth and shine that light in this dark world. We give you all the glory for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we thank you for all the miracles that you've allowed over the last 4 years, one after another, Lord, just testing our faith. Lord, I thank you that you've allowed me to teach what I've learned from the great teacher that we had to these men. And sometimes they just stand at awe at what we know, and we know that's from you, Lord, and we thank you for that. Lord, I also feel Spirit-led. I had the pleasure to speak to Richard Hoskins last week, and Lord, I pray for your blessings on him, Lord. I pray that you give him good years, Lord. I pray that you continue to allow him to think clearly. Lord, we bind our enemies from ever
Yes.
removing what he's contributed to your people, Lord. Protect those books that he's written,
I don't know about you, John, but sure an awful, always an awful privilege for me to be able to talk to Mr. Hoskins. And
yes, it is.
And, I look forward to when we have to reorder books because I get to call him, and sometimes that's a 20-minute book order, and that's okay.
Yeah, tell him the story on your receipt. That's kind of a neat story, actually.
Oh, yeah, we had, you know, we offered, back 6 months ago, we started offering Mr. Hoskins' books again. I guess advertising would be the proper term, and just ran a few ads in the newsletter, and have experienced a great response. Just have had to order his books, whether it's War Cycles, Peace Cycles, or our Nordic Race, or Vigilantes of Christendom. We've had to order them two or three times because so many of our people have wanted them. And on the last order that we got in, Mr. Hoskins, the consummate Southern gentleman, you know.
Amen.
He always writes his little bills and stuff are handwritten out. And he writes at the bottom, you know, God bless, and that, you know, him and his wife have us all here at Scriptures for America in their prayers. And he signs it, him and his wife's name. And you know, just that in itself is tells of a culture that has been lost.
Yep.
You know, that personal touch to where someone takes the time to actually write something out and sign it. And, you know, our pastor was big on that, on writing notes out and whatnot. But so I get this bill, and I go to make a copy of it to send it down to Jody to get it paid for these books, and I flip it over, and on the back it says, congratulations on being a new grandpa, signed Dick Hoskins. And because I got to be a new grandpa last month, or in November, I guess. And you know, that's something that will get saved and framed. And you know, little baby Owen, my first grandson, he will come to know who Dick Hoskins is.
Yep.
Through his dad and through me and
his books.
And his books. And you know, just like our children will be able to say, as this darkness recedes and the light of Jesus Christ comes back into this world, because of the efforts of people like Dick Hoskins and Pastor Peters, you know, our children and their children will be able to say, I knew who that was. You know?
Amen.
The generation before us and the generation before that, you know, they've had their worldly, and I don't even mean the idols now, but, you know, maybe a generation or two ago, you know, you had General Patton from World War II. And I remember that Pastor Jones used to talk about, not in an, looking at Colonel or General Patton as an idol, but talking about him and how the people just held him in awe, you know, in you know, the things that he did in the war and Pastor Jones being able to say that, you know, he knew him. He had been with him in many of those battles, and how much better for our children to be able to say that they knew these godly men.
Amen. Well, I just felt Spirit led to pray for him. He said he had to give up his newsletter lately. He just couldn't keep up with it, couldn't keep his thoughts totally straight on that. So just pray for the Lord to have mercy on him and his family.
Amen. Amen. That's for sure. Well, Jason, how are things going down there? I hear you guys are just fast and furious. Not the bad fast and furious, but the good fast and furious on getting our new Dragon Slayer printed and out. How's that going?
Yep, that's going well, real well. Coming along real good. Getting Kyle trained to be the printer. Yep.
Well, good. Well, good. So it looks like that'll probably mail out, what, Monday?
And yeah, Monday or Tuesday.
And then we'll do the same thing with the email version and get it posted up at the website. And those of you that have requested it on email, we can sure email it to you. If you'll send us an email to preacher@sfaw.org, that's preacher@sfaw.org. We'd be glad to put you on the email Dragon Slayer list, and that way we don't have to print one. We don't have to pay the post office to send it out. And because the postal rates do go up again on Monday.
Imagine that.
Yep, imagine that. So we'll, boy, that'll be something too. We might have to look at is that that newsletter paperwork to make sure we got the right rates on there. Usually the program we use recognizes that, but anyway, so if you do want to get the Dragon Slayer, we can mail it to you. Just let us know. We'd be glad to send it out to you. The pastor always send it out at no charge, but he would tell you, and he told us, as I'm sure you remember, that it's not that it's free. He just sends it out without charging for it because of the saints that are out there that support this ministry, that have supported us in the past to allow us to purchase our own purchasing or printing equipment. But it's not free to produce, it's not free to print, and it's certainly not free to ship out. So do remember that when you get it. And again, our address is, if you do want to send support to us, our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And you can also donate online with PayPal. Many have asked to be able to do that, and that is up and running and functioning quite well. And it's working out quite well for those that want to do that. And you can go to our website, scripturesforamerica.org. And right there on the left, you like that, right there on the left. Stay away, guys. Right there on the left, you can go to the donations page. And that'll take you right to the PayPal donations if that's the type of thing you like to do. So, anyway. Well, Mr. Kyle, what's going on in Mr. Kyle's world?
Not much,
what are you bringing to us?
But I did was listening to John this morning there, and he said something about schools in California teaching that there wasn't, I mean, I understand the homosexuals, that's been out there for a while, but he's teaching something about not recognizing a boy by what a boy looks like or a girl. Is that true, John? Is that what that woman told you?
Well, that's what she said. I don't have two witnesses on it, but nothing surprises me. And I don't think it was traits, that maybe it was characteristics or something. I don't know.
Well, that's okay because, you know, it reminds me of the days of Noah. You know, they try to put curses on us, and God gets them with their own curses, because there's going to be a day where God is going to judge every individual on the face of this earth by their characteristics.
Yeah.
And if a man doesn't act like a man, he's going to get it. And if a woman doesn't act like a woman, they're going to get it. So, I mean, you know, you always wonder through your life, well, how can it get worse than this? We find out as every year goes by how it can get worse than this, you know. But it's getting closer to that time where they're gonna keep trying to curse us, and it's all going to come back on them just like it did Pharaoh's firstborn in Egypt.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned that, and people may say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, in 1 Corinthians 6:9, it says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, that should be a goal of the Christian, to inherit the kingdom of God, right? Our duty is to serve God. And the promise of that is if we will serve God, obey His word, that we will inherit the kingdom of God. But 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, and I'll put in here, will inherit the kingdom of God, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, and it goes on and on. But it doesn't say not only. I guess it does say, not only will homosexuals not inherit the kingdom of God, but the effeminate will not either.
Yeah, amen.
And that's just what you said, Kyle. If you're a man, if God in His infinite wisdom made you, plumbed you as a man, then guess what? Be a man. And if He made you a woman, likewise.
It's funny how the church society, you know, Judeo-Christianity, or just Christianity in general, they excuse all those lesser, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, they might hold still and not, they tolerate everything, don't get me wrong, but they might, you know, raise an eyebrow to fornication or adultery, you know, still, just raise an eyebrow, you know, but the lesser ones, you know, when you go down that line, you know, and you get down to even drunken, being a drunkard or a liar, and we're all liars, but, you know, we've all met real liars, you know, they just kind of ignore those. They won't inherit the kingdom of God, you know. I mean, they just kind of, oh, no big deal. We're all sinners. Not a big deal. If your little boy wants to play with dollies, you know, and is really big into choirs and artsy stuff, not a big
drama.
Deal. Yeah, what?
And the drama.
You know, not a big deal. And if your girl wants to act like a boy, you know, not a big deal, you know. And they don't look at it like not entering the kingdom of God.
Yep.
Or the kingdom of heaven.
On another interesting note, Richard sent me an email last week about the witches in Massachusetts that all got together at Salem to pray to break Tim Tebow's streak because they knew that it was supporting Christianity. And they actually had, I don't know if you call them voodoo dolls or whatever, who knows, don't even want to know, but a bunch of dolls of the Patriots that they were trying to pray for them to win. And I was telling a bunch of people that, and then I said, what happened to the good old days when we used to tie them to a stake and burn them? And people would kind of laugh, and I go, I ain't kidding. I said, Bible specifically tells you that a witch does not live, you know, and the witchcraft is the spirit of divination. And they're like, no, it doesn't. And I guess it does.
Yeah, so. See, that's the thing, is the people, they don't even know. Kyle's brought it to our attention. They preach another Jesus. They believe another Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's a figment of their imagination that the enemy has put in there. The enemy with their media, with their words, which is their weapons, and their pictures. They beat us out on this to the bulk of the people.
Yep.
That they've created this pot smoking, long haired hippie, love everybody, peace, fake Jesus in the minds of the people, even in the minds of so-called Christians.
Amen. Well, gentlemen, with that, I got to sign off. I just want you all to know that Dad would be proud of you in a humble way. So have a blessed day.
Thanks, John. You too. Have a good meeting.
Thank you.
Well, Jason, that means that the Jason of Colorado gets to carry us for the rest of this program. So Kyle and I have been talking enough. We'll turn it over to you. And what's going on in the the world out there?
Well, first of all, I think we can have a little coffee humor before we go there. Did you ever hear about the two coffees in heaven?
The two coffees in heaven? No.
Is it decaf and regular? Or?
Well, we'll get to that. I'm sure it might be decaf with a little bit of soy milk, but having arrived at the gates of heaven, and I'm not saying that he's going to arrive at the gates of heaven or anything. I'm just trying to have a little humor here.
Good.
But Barack Obama meets a man with a beard, and he says, are you Mohammed? And he says, no, my son, I am St. Peter. Mohammed is higher up. Peter then points to the ladder that rises into the clouds. Delighted that Mohammed should be higher than St. Peter, Obama climbs the ladder in great strides, climbs up through the clouds, and comes into a room where he meets another bearded man. He asks again, are you Mohammed? Why, no, he answers, I'm Moses. Mohammed is still higher. Exhausted but with a heart full of joy, he climbs the ladder yet again. He discovers a large room where he meets an angelic-looking man with a beard full of hope. He asks again, are you Muhammad? He says, no, I am Jesus the Christ. You will find Muhammad higher up. Muhammad higher than Jesus? Man, oh man, Obama can hardly contain his delight as he climbs and climbs even higher. Once again, he reaches an even large room where he meets this truly magnificent looking man with silver white beard, and once again repeats his question, are you Muhammad? He gasps as, by now totally out of breath from all his climbing, he says, no, I am Almighty God, the Alpha and the Omega. bet you look exhausted. Would you like a cup of coffee? Obama says, yes, please. As God looks behind him, he claps his hands and yells out, hey, Mohammed, two coffees.
That is a good little coffee humor here.
Mm-mm-mm. We need to get our laugh track going for moments like that. So.
I didn't say it slow enough, maybe.
Maybe that's what it was. No, that was a good one. That was. I'm sure they're laughing out there in coffee land. I'm sure that they are.
It is interesting to note a couple things that are going on out there. It looks like we might be closing the embassy down in Syria just because of the bombings, and the Syria government cannot protect the embassies anymore, and it sounds like we're going to be pulling out of Syria, which is kind of interesting. I can't remember the last time that has happened, but it's been quite a while. So if that, you know, there's not a whole lot going on, or they're not telling us a whole lot about what is going on in Syria, but if they're to the point where they're closing the embassy, that means that something, that it's serious over there.
Yeah, the stability of the government is certainly dwindling, that's for sure. You know, that brings to mind the infamous picture you see when we closed the embassy and came out of South Vietnam. And if you remember the picture of the last Huey helicopter up on the roof is leaving, and there's just a line of people. You know, there must be 100 people in the line and in the ladder all the way up to the building, and then up the building to the parapet, and then up on the top where the helicopter is. And the helicopter's just filling up, and that's the last ride out. And, you know, those people that did make it on, they know. And
yeah, they know all hell's going to break
loose,
what's coming. They're going to be there. Yeah,
yeah, with the communist rule that's coming. And but that was, yeah, we closed that embassy, too. Of course, that was, that was back in the early 70s. And I didn't remember it then, but I remember seeing the picture since then. And so, yeah, that's not a good one. And I guess everybody's seen the pictures of the, I didn't bring the news report over here, but pictures of the Italian cruise ship that hit the rocks, so to speak, and flipped over. And they're still, I think they've got 11 dead and still missing 20 or something. And that's, they say that's the largest ship to crash like that since the Titanic. You know,
really?
They've had other even other cruise ships.
They must have been quite a ways off course.
They said that, yeah, you're hearing all kind of things. They came up on rocks that they said were well charted, and so who knows? You know, there's talk of the captain was, you know, entertaining some floozy or was wanting to go in close to shore to, you know, show off for some dignitaries. Who knows? Who knows? But, you know, one thing they have done is he's, at least in the worldly way, committed the mortal sin, was the captain left the ship before all the people were off. And, you know, that's internationally, that's kind of a no-no to do if you ever want to be a captain again anyway. So.
Well, and I think that's the right characteristic. If you're anything, let's say you're a school bus driver or whatever you are, you know, you take on, you know, a position to where you should care about other people's, you know, safety first. That's part of our makeup, shouldn't it? I mean, you shouldn't even have to be in a position like that to be that kind of person. But
right. But
if you are, I think you should help women and children and elderly, and finally when it gets down to the men, find, all right, men, we're on our own now, you know, try to find safety or whatever. But there is, you know, I mean, last I heard, you know, of course, like you said, who knows what you can believe or not, you know. I mean, he even got to the point to now where he's saying he slipped and fell off the ship into a lifeboat. You know, I mean, now, whether that's true or not, I have no idea. It sounds like a comedy routine to me, but.
Yeah, it is. It is. And that's the difference in the culture, in the culture that we have today. You know, you hear so much about culture and how, is it February is Black Awareness Month, I think, coming up? And
Jason knows all about that.
You'll
see, on that.
Yeah, you'll see at McDonald's and at the fast food places and at the grocery stores and everywhere else, the, you know, the pictures of the great black leaders and, you know, whoever it may be, and millions and millions of dollars will be spent to try to raise awareness for the black culture, you know, the black culture that, that never built a two-story building on their own, that never could sail from the shores of Africa. They never could figure out a rudder and a sail, okay, and a compass to be able to sail out and get them back. And you hear all this about all this great black culture. Well, you know, the white culture, the white Christian culture was once a great culture. And if you look back to the time of the Titanic, when the Titanic did hit the iceberg and was sinking, it was women and children first. And, you know, the majority of the women and children were put in lifeboats and put away from the Titanic. And you know, if you're listening out there, you can't say, well, no, it wasn't because I saw on the movie. Okay, don't do that. Don't show yourself a fool by thinking back to the movie you might have seen about the Titanic. Okay, but there are historical books out there that truly show the characteristics of the white Christian culture that were there. The band of men played to encourage the other people. You know, they knew they were doomed. They knew they were dying. But they played on. You know, it's said that they played Nearer My God to Thee to encourage the men that had been left behind, the men that stayed behind, so that the women, the wives, the children, the mothers could get the life jackets and be put in the lifeboats and would be rescued. And you know, and that's just been a little over 100 years ago. And you counter that with this culture today of you know, hooray for me and the hell with you. And it's all me first in this culture today. And so multiculturalism is a great thing if you want to destroy the white Christian culture. And that's right.
Or if you want to destroy both cultures. And that's really what it's done to both cultures.
Oh, it's absolutely.
I mean, you look at what it's done to the black culture and to the white culture since they did away with segregation.
Yeah.
And it was destroying two nations. You know, everybody said, you know, the blacks did have money and were wealthy and were better off at one time, whether people want to admit it or not. I mean, they owned railroads, they owned businesses, they owned banks.
Yes.
And, you know, they were a prosperous people as well. But when you get two nations to both turn to sin and intermingle and, you know, act like there's no difference between the two of them, you're bringing sin into the camp and you're going to destroy anybody that takes part in it.
You're right. Our not-so-supreme court handed down that separate is not equal. Boy, there's wisdom, isn't it? Separate is not equal. And, you know, the Bible has no argument with that. They're absolutely right about that. But you're right, Jason. Before the Civil Rights Act of, I believe, 1965, the blacks had, the blacks that lived in this, even in the cities and whatnot, they usually were segregated. That means they were separate. Just like in the days of Moses, when they were strangers in the camp.
Yep.
They were there, but they were on the outskirts of the camp. And if they followed the laws, statutes, and judgments, they were blessed, just like the people were.
You know what the most confusing day in Harlem is?
No.
Father's Day.
You know, I know you mean that as a joke, but it is true.
It is true.
You look back before the Civil Rights Movement, the black father was in the home, not in prison. The black sons, the teenage sons and the sons in the 20s were either in the home and going to school and working, or they were starting their own family. They weren't in prison. How is it today? And if you're listening out there, we really don't blame the black people, but there again, don't turn around and blame the white man either. If you've listened to this ministry, you've heard, you know that there is always an unseen third party. And there has been an unseen third party at work there. Go ahead, Jason. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, and it's a lot of what our welfare system has done, you know, to these people as well. Because, you know, you can have, and I can't remember the exact, I was looking at the stats the other day, but let's just say you have a minority woman. If she has a child, she gets so much, and she's unemployed, she gets so much on a government aid program. And I think it was $600 a month. But if there is a father in the house and she's living with the child's father, that's dropped from $600 a month to $300 a month. So they have a financial benefit of not having the father in the house. And that goes from $600 a child to, if they have more than one child, they can get another $600. So if they got three children, they can get $1,800. But that drops from $1,800 to $900 if they have the father living in the house. So guess what? They don't have the father in the house. And, you know, the government is taking part in destroying people, destroying families. Because they make the price where it's easier for people not to have families.
Yeah, there's that unseen third party that Richard was just talking about. Yep.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is, and it ties right back into, you know, when America was great, it was because America was good. And America was good because it went to church. It worshipped God Almighty through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the law of the land was based on the Word of God.
Yeah.
And America is not good anymore because, or let me say this, America is not great anymore because America is not good, because Americans are not good anymore. And because the law of the land is now more of the law of the jungle and not based on the Word of God. You know, when Jason...
Well, in America...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. America was good, too. I mean, we were at one time, we were the most prosperous crediting nation, and now we're one of the largest debting nations. Mm-hmm. And I've been thinking a lot about something that, you know, you look at this land, when we had this land, when we settled this land had everything our people needed. We had timber, we had trees, we had gold, we had silver, we had oil. We could grow crops. Anything that we wanted to survive on. We have, you know, wheat crops, corn crops. And now you look at where all of our natural resources, everything that this land is producing, the land that our Heavenly Father gave us, where's it going? The lumber companies are owned by China.
The oil rigs.
The silver, the oil, everything is being exported. It's going out of this country. And... you know, I think about this something, you know, here our Heavenly Father gave us a prize. He gave us the apple of His eye, this country, the North American continent, and said, here it is, it's yours. And we've let it get stripped dry, and it's continually being sucked dry, and all the wealth of it, everything that our Heavenly Father gave us, is being piped out of this country.
It is. It is. You know, when we had Brent here from Canada, and he shared with us that, you know, here, like especially Colorado, but in most places, you know, ATMs anymore are in English and Spanish. You go to Walmart, you know, everything's in English and Spanish, you know, menus and all types of things. Well, in Canada, he said everything is in English. There's only a small part, I guess, of the French-speaking provinces up there. But he said the majority of places in Canada, it's English and Chinese. Because there's so many Chinese right there, just north of the border, that's how it is up there. But you know, praise the Lord, it just further proves the Word of God. that he says, if you won't, you know, go back and read Deuteronomy, what is it, 28? The curses and the promises. And if you don't obey his word, people, you will go lower and lower, and the alien among you will go higher and higher. And praise the Lord, we live in that day. Well, guys, we got a few minutes left. Why don't we open up the phone lines? I think we advertised we'd do that. If you want to call in and say good morning, 307-745-5913. We'll open up the phone lines and get them turned on. So if you do want to call in, we've got about 20 minutes left. We can do that.
And if you're on the other side of the world, maybe you'll say good evening.
Yeah. Good day, mate. We do get calls from over there sometimes, whether it's down in Nigeria or Tasmania. Got a listener down in Tasmania, which is south of Australia. That's the other side of the world for sure. And Art down there. Art calls in every now and then, and it's funny. He's got my cell phone number, and sometimes when he calls, it's usually about 11 o'clock at night, you know, because it's just a different time. But if you do want to call in, 307-745-5913. One news bit that I did see I wanted to just mention this morning is down in Oklahoma, and I know it's happening in Texas and all your southwestern states as well, is we've talked about the black culture, but it's the Mexican culture that's really coming in there real heavy. Let's try this phone call, and we'll get back to that. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, Richard. This is Tim. I'm calling from the road, and I wanted to put in a plug for Scriptures for America concerning this Titanic issue, that we have the deeper understanding concerning the Titanic issue, and the other ministries are completely in the dark concerning the Titanic issue. So I just wanted to put in a plug for Scriptures for America.
Well, we appreciate it, Tim.
All right.
Be safe on the road, brother.
All right.
All right. Thank you. All right. And we'll continue to go to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Richard.
Yes.
This is Calvin in not very exotic North Carolina.
Good morning, Cal.
I was just listening to you fellas, and I'm so thankful that Howard Freeman, that we had an opportunity to get some of the knowledge that he garnered from his dad on law and the presidential executive orders by FDR that declared bankruptcy in 1933 and three more times, culminating, I guess, 1938, which in essence meant that once FDR entered into the court and Supreme Court ruling, they entered into the commercial paper, they no longer had the authority to govern. And I was in the motor vehicles there getting a change of address. And the man said, would you like to register to vote? And I said, for what? And he just smiled. I mean, it's a joke. When you're in bankruptcy, you have no rule. The receivers are the ones that govern. And the folks need to know that.
They do. They do.
We don't have a war. I mean, the federal government is bankrupt. And it's in receivership, so there's that unseen party behind it running the whole show, and they took silent judicial notice, and the judges know it. So anyway, and talking about the welfare state, the post office man here in town was telling me about a gal that came in here, believe it or not, a white girl, that was single, and she has four children. And he said, are you working now? And she said, no. I don't want to have another one because it's easier to get the money by having a baby so don't have to get unemployment insurance. Isn't
right.
that something?
Yep. You like that culture? That's the culture that we've been, that like Jason had said, you get the two different nations, two sinning nations combined, and that's what you get.
The rotten one takes over.
That's what you get. Yep.
The sinful one takes over, and
amen.
I just marvel at this town, which is a very small place, only about 35,000 people, and the ratio of women wearing a dress or a skirt is about maybe 500 or 1,000 to 1 who wear men's trousers or pants.
Right.
Isn't that outrageous?
It is.
They don't even know that they're a woman.
It is. Well, yep. Cal, thanks for calling in. Thanks for joining us.
You bet.
All right, sir. And the phone lines are still ringing. We'll go to that one. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah. Just a quick comment about the Chinese up in Canada. Those aren't like from communist China. Most of those are, you know, you remember what Hong Kong, you know, England gave Hong Kong back to the Chinese,
mm-hmm.
like 20 years ago or whatever it was. And a lot of the very wealthy Chinese in Hong Kong took all the money and took over, you know, the west coast of, I think it's British Columbia up there, the western province of Canada and Vancouver. So there's a little difference to the Chinese up there than, you know, the poor peasant over in China, you know. So
sure.
Just wanted to come, you know, put that in.
Thanks. Thanks for sharing
okay.
that with us.
Well, it must be going out.
I guess so. And I think, you know, I don't know. I could hear the pastor saying, you know, Chinese or Chinese. You know, not to knock that at all. I appreciate that caller letting us know.
Well, there's a difference, yeah.
Oh, sure there is. Sure there is. Those are your, you know, just like there's a difference in whites, there's a difference in blacks.
Yeah.
You know, the premise, the basic Bible premise, by their fruits you shall know them. You know, and I would bet that those Chinese up there in Canada, they're more, I would bet you they're not on the Canadian welfare system. You know, whether they work or have their, like he said, you know, whether they're the wealthy from Hong Kong that left there and came, I would bet you that they're not on the welfare system up in that in our northern neighbor's country at all.
Well, it's like Jason was saying, you know, about the enemy in the camp or it destroys your whole camp, you know. And that's basically the way it is. It's no matter whose fault it is, the unseen third party or the others or yourself, the fact of the matter is the camp is being destroyed, you know, and our nation is being destroyed, you know, and if you let it into your church will be destroyed. If you let it into your home, that's just how it works, because that's how the Word says it's going to work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the solution always is the same, but it's always worth repeating. It's the same solution that Christ said to Satan when he was tempted. It is written.
It is written.
And that's where it all goes back to. It mm-hmm. is written. You know, you can tempt me with money, you can tempt me with whatever it is you're going to tempt me with, you know, whatever Christ was tempted with, he always went back to the same thing. Well, it is written, you know, and that's how you correct the problem. You know, now, you get in such a deep problem, it's hard to correct it by it is written, but it doesn't mean that's still not the correction process.
Right, you know? Right. And that's what I was starting to say, was down there in, the, you know, the way the Mexican culture now is coming in. And what that is they're having to report now the beheadings that are going on in Texas and in Oklahoma and in New Mexico and places like that. The beheadings, you say? Yeah, the beheadings. Because, see, that's what the Mexican drug culture is. The government is you know, you mentioned Jason about us pulling our embassy out of Syria. We ought to pull it out of Mexico.
Because they can't keep them safe down there.
They cannot keep our people safe. And their beheadings, torture, all that are flowing. You know, that's being seen time and time and time again in the United States of America. And but you don't hear anything about it, you know. You don't. But, you know, Obama was singing Al Green or some Green music the other day, you know, ba 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 ba. And that made that was just the headlines. Obama's singing songs the other day. How about that? You know, our people are being beheaded on the southern border. But that's what CNN and the Always Barack channel are going to report to you, is all that stuff. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. This is Terry from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Terry.
There's a little article in our paper here, I think yesterday, concerning the Washington Monument. It was, you know, damaged in that earthquake back in August. And I guess they're trying to raise money to repair it. And then I saw that someone had donated, a wealthy businessman, donated $7.5 million to repair it, you know, toward the cost. And, you know, I forget what his name was, but he's one of the Antichrist. And then I got to wondering, why would they care whether the, you know, the monument got repaired or not? And then I got thinking about the D.C. street sorcery videos and thinking, you know, that's part of their power source, and they need that thing. They don't want that to crumble and fall down, so they're going to put some money into that thing and make sure it's still there for their use. So,
absolutely.
That's all I wanted to say.
I think that's a good take on that situation. Yep, it is.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. And it is. You know, Pastor brought that out, and it was brought out in D.C. Street Sorcery, that those symbols, they're not ours. They're not symbols to our God by any way, shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah, we were talking, me and Jason were talking yesterday. Subject came up of wallpaper. I told him Adolf Hitler was a paper hanger before he became... But anyway, we were talking about designs on wallpaper. Mm-hmm. You know, now, I've stripped a lot of old wallpaper in my life, you know, being a painter, and I've hung a lot of paper, but in the old, you know, in the old, I don't know, you want to say 60s, 50s, maybe even before that, the wallpaper had some awful weird designs on it. Designs like you can't even speak of on the radio, but then also those symbols that you're just talking about, all over the place, you know, and they'd hang them in their kitchens and their dining rooms and their, you know, they have been at work from the get-go doing what they can to put evil in homes, you know what I mean? And it was just like, I started thinking about that after we talked about it and thinking about some of the old dining rooms and stuff that I, you know, took the wallpaper off the walls. There was some pretty outrageous, you know, Jewish symbols, Satan symbols, you know. But, you know, you don't really pay attention to it, you know, when you just walk through the house. But when you really start examining it, there was a reason behind all those weird designs, you know.
Every one of those geometric patterns radiated a frequency.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let's get back to the phone line. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. God bless you, gentlemen. That gentleman... about the Washington Monument, he caught the story that I did, too. He's correct. He's totally correct. Oh, I'm Kevin in Ohio.
Hi, Kevin.
Well, good morning. The guy's name is Rubenstein. Donated the money for that phallic symbol in
Washington. That's a good Jewish name, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yep. And being a painter, too, those symbols are put right into the walls here in Ohio. You'll see Masonic symbols, the compass and square, on window trim outside of houses, and no one knows what they are. Mm-hmm. It's there. It's on every people's residences, and Kyle's completely right. You see those things everywhere. God bless you. Keep on working, brothers.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
And one more call here. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning there, Wranglers. Not that I want to start a Canadian controversy on the Chinese, but it's Brent here.
Hi, Brent.
Just a follow-up. I believe that gentleman, I think, is probably being sensitive to labeling every Chinese person. I mean, it's my guess, but I just want to follow up. The Chinese want to buy the potash mines in Saskatchewan. They're in the tar sand oil fields of Alberta. You know, the big deal with Obama and the Keystone Project, putting a kibosh on it. They want to build north instead to send oil to back home to China and stuff. And up here, they're even fighting to let people after 5 years collect old age pension and that, immigrants and what have you. So, you know, it's pretty bad now. Every Chinese person here, no doubt, is you know, not a communist red chink by any means, but it is the biggest group of immigrants coming into Canada now, and we've got, the whole area up here where I am is completely Chinese, and I've traveled across the whole West, and it's a big problem, and, you know, it is, so I just wanted to to throw that in and clear that up a bit.
Yeah, you know, Brent, here's the deal. Chinese people care about Chinese people. Africans mm-hmm. care about Africans. Mexicans care about Mexicans. It's just the ignorant white race who all of a sudden think you're not supposed to care about your race anymore, so they allow every kind into their area, and that kind cares about their own kind. You know, it's just time for us to start caring about our own kind. You know, I mean, that's the way I look at it.
That's what we should be doing. Exactly.
Yes. Yep, that's exactly what it is, and we can't apologize for that. And, you know, a lot of people, especially up here, you know, we've been socially engineered now. Like, I think I told you guys a story, the Olympics in Canada, the Winter Olympics last year, year before, whenever it was. And all the teams come out with their own country's flag. And I'm watching it on TV. And all of a sudden, the Chinese athletes come out holding a Canadian flag. And the commentators, oh, isn't that something? Throwing the Canadian flag. Well, you know what? Could it be a little bit of an esoteric message there that, hey, guess what? We're taking over.
Well, they are. So, they are.
Yeah,
they are. I remember, Jason, you remember we talked a few years ago about how they were starting to drill for oil again down in Colorado. You know, they had like 40 new rigs in just almost overnight. This has been 2 or 3 years ago. They were all owned by Chinese. They all had Chinese crews. And guess where the oil
was all going to
or
China.
At least the money was going to China. You know?
Yeah.
The big trawler, you know, I forget what it was, somewhere, Jason, you'd probably know, we're running out of time here, but real quick, up in Alaska, the big city that was, you know, didn't have any oil or any diesel because they were land, you know, the ice and stuff and snow had covered them in. It was a Russian trawler that was beating in there to deliver oil to them.
Yep, but I think that was Nome, Alaska.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, so, you know what? Us Anglos, back to 238, because... I'll tell you what, numbers game, there's 1.5 billion of them, and God's, you know, his hand of protection is being lifted up because we turned our back on him, and we'll all be speaking Chinese if we, unless we repent. So Acts 2.38, everyone.
Amen. Thank you, Brent.
Okay, guys.
Have a great weekend.
Okay, take care. You too.
Well, guys, thanks for joining us here for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We will, again, invite you to church tomorrow, 10 o'clock Mountain, 11 o'clock Central, and noon on the East Coast. Come to scriptures4america.org. Right there, you can join us, either watch the video stream or listen to us, but we do invite you to church tomorrow. We do thank all of the faithful remnant out there for your continued prayers and support. Again, our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Men, see you in church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, they hide.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Ride them more!
they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting at the end of our ride.